Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we discuss black people separating in our own controlled communities so that we can get our own freedom, justice, and equality. We discuss separating and building our own communities in all of its forms. Tonight's show is, what does separation look like for you? Well, even though as Muslims, the Muslims who follow the Honorable Minister the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the leadership of Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we all believe in point number four. And in case you're not familiar with point number four, it is states, we want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descended from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land, and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. Well, we are the show. This is the show where we discuss getting there. We discuss starting where we are now to this end and what we should be doing to start moving towards that end. Should we just be waiting? Should we be putting things in place? What should we be doing for this to take place. So if you're tuned in and you want to discuss this, this is the right station at the right time. And as we move forward and you want to make a comment or ask a question or you're ready to get in the queue, push the 1 on your dial, and we'll put you in the queue, and we will recognize you and give you an opportunity to talk. First come, first serve. And right now, let's see, we have our brother, Dr. Ridgely. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is all, my phone is always tricky. Sometimes it works on speakerphone. Sometimes it works on the ear. So we're working on the ear tonight. You know, I've had a discussion on my Facebook page about separation. And I ventured to say, you know, there are some people who say that we have to develop an economic base so that we can afford separate. I argue that you're never going to get an economic base unless you separate. Because every dime that you make, they increase the cost. So your salaries, for instance, so they increase your salary by, you know, a dollar, and then increase the cost by $2. So how can you ever catch up if your salary doesn't go up as fast as the cost of living? And it's just to make a decision, cut bait, and separate. Now, there's some people say, well, it's promised us that we're supposed to leave great sustenance. Well, if you look at all the stuff that we've accumulated, you already got great substance, a lot more than anybody else on the planet. It's greedy. You expect to live like everybody, to live like the rich and the famous, and you don't have a business, you're not selling a product, not producing anything. Why should you get a whole lot of money? Just because of who you are? Who will give it to you? Anybody will give you nothing. So we say, hey, let's cut out a piece of territory, let's come together, and let's start trading with one another, producing something, sell to one another, find a product that we can sell outside of our community to bring in more income to the community. Let's start the way our ancestors started after slavery. They were not waiting on 40 acres and a mule. They were promised it. They never got it. But they went to work. And the boss set with that, they had to come in us and burn us and kill us to run us off the land and out of our businesses and stop us from voting and burn down our schools and our churches. Because we were establishing a nation within a nation. And now we are talking about, well, when I get it together, just like people, you know, decide to join the nation. When I get it together, I just want the nation is to get you together. And a nation of our own will build us freedom. But they're not going to allow you to make enough money to go free. And they always will figure out a way to get your money. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said they're in control of their economy. You know the IRS will track you down.
We're having trouble hearing you, Dr. Ridgely. Dr. Ridgely, we're having trouble hearing you. I'm going to go ahead and open up the hand. Okay, yes, sir.
Okay. You can go to Sister Ann now.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you today?
All praise is due to Allah, just fine.
Okay. Well, on the point of separation, what does it look like to me? I can imagine that being separated in a territory of our own would be heaven on earth, as I've already stated. Can you imagine a neighborhood, a community where you can come home and on certain days your dinner is prepared for you, your children are supervised, you don't have to worry about them after they've gotten out of school? It's just so many things that we can do for each other in a community of our own that we have to worry about right now. Those of us who have our children in public school, you know, that would not even be a reality in a community of our own. We would have our own school. So I see it as a plus. Anytime we think about separation, yes, we have to build a lot of things. Yes, we have to learn to get along. And yes, we have to learn how to love each other and love each other unconditionally as Allah loves us. Well, you say, well, that's easier said than done. Well, when you, and I hear Dr. Risley talking about this all the time, when you feel you need each other, you have a tendency to treat each other better. And I would like to say that we in a community will have to feel that we need each other. And when we need each other, that brings about that feeling that, hey, whatever you're going through, I'm going through it. And you can help each other to overcome all of the obstacles that may be in your way. That's what I have to add at this point. I may come back later.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. And brothers and sisters, once again, if you want to comment or ask a question on what separation looks like for yourself, press the 1 on your dial and we'll bring you into the conversation.
Okay, before somebody comes in, again, you know, another thing somebody brought up to me and keep bringing up to me is about us doing international trade. You know, run the farm. So they think in terms of helping the farm, we can get an international trade. Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you first produce for yourself and your own. Then the surplus you sell. We don't have a surplus. We have a deficit of demand. And the people who want products are spread out all over the 2,000 by 3,000 miles, and it makes it almost impossible to get things to them. That's why we need to come close together, close to the farm, that we can get you products from the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got products. For instance, Sister Majida puts in products to the Staple Goods Project. Brother Gerald puts in products to the Staple Goods Project. If we would come together and start producing and trading amongst one another, we can develop an economy, and then we'd be on our way. There's no way the enemy is going to allow you to compete against him. He would rather die than to see you compete successfully against him. It's not his nature to treat you as an equal. So he's going to throw a monkey wrench in whatever you're trying to do. Everybody who in business in black know I'm telling the truth. You may have overcome a lot of these obstacles, but you know every day you're looking for another one because you know how they are. You know how they are.
Yes, sir.
So let's get together and be how we are. By nature, we are not like them. That's why we can't work with them and be around them because of different nature. They are users and abusers by their nature. We are not. We picked that up from them. If we were amongst each other without them tampering with us, then we could become brothers and sisters and build an economy. They got to spread all out. We're going to have to come together closer to build an economy and a society. That's all
about
I have to say. Yes.
What about the argument that if we form separate communities, we'll just be able, easier to target by our enemy and easy to isolate to be preyed upon either economically or physically?
Well, they said it's about 60,000 black women missing. Our young children get lost every day. They get shot down, they get picked up. The police, we know, we don't. Any minute they can turn and kill us. What the hell are you talking about? You're not safe being around them. At least you have a border, so when they cross the border, you have a right to check them. It's like we do with the mosque. If you have a border, then you have people at the border, you have a right to check them. But no, they go in and out of our communities as they please. And then because we got to work all day and night, our women are out by themselves coming from work or going to work. Our children have to go to school, get on the bus early in the morning to get off. Some have to walk. And we're among predators. What the hell y'all talking about? You know, y'all don't feel safe where you at. So stop that. You're just a damn bunch of cowards. And then when somebody does attack you, then you say, well, where's everybody at? Well, hell, you by your damn self. That's where everybody at. If you were in a community that you can yell out, I'm like, I need help. Well, hell, you out by your damn self. Nobody know you. And they're scared to even respond to you because you may be a trick. So when people hear something, they just roll back over in the bed or hide. They're not coming out to see what it is. You may be banging on their door. Somebody's shooting at you. Or somebody's cut you. Ain't nobody gonna open the door. They don't want no trouble. So you living around a bunch of damn cowards on one hand and your enemy on the other. Ain't you tired of that?
Good point.
At least
good point.
In your community, if you hear something out of line, people are going to respond to it because they trust one another. But when you don't trust your next-door neighbor and your next-door neighbor yells out that they need help, are you going to help them? No. And when you need help, are they going to help you? No.
Nope.
So you stay there by your stupid individual self with 1,000 people around you looking at you die because they don't want to get in no trouble.
So, brother, what do you think about these comments? Go ahead and press 1 on your dial so we can recognize you if you want to make a comment or ask a question. Go ahead, Cynthia.
I was just going to say that is absolutely correct. We are by ourselves when we are in these so-called communities. You know, I know half the people who are living in communities, they don't know their neighbors. They don't have any kind of camaraderie with them. They go to work. They come home. They may go to the mosque and back home. There's hardly ever any outside activities going on in the neighborhood because you don't know your neighbors. You don't know them. You don't want to associate with them. So, you know, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about your grandson's family. They live in one of them nice suburban middle class neighborhoods. And do they know anybody on their block, Suzanne?
They know them when they see them. A few people, a few, the neighbor right across the street and right next door.
And then when the children want to go to a party,
a street
they
party.
Complain, huh?
A street party.
What happens when they try to do that?
Well, the mother, and it was so funny. She told them, y'all are not going up there with all them white folks. And they live in among them, right in the middle of them.
They live in a white folks community. They have a street party, but then they don't want the children to go to the street party because there's too many white folks.
Yeah, children probably look at them like they're crazy.
Yes,
we got
yes,
a caller.
Yes.
We got a caller. Caller with the last four digits. 7244. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, how's everybody? My name is Bob.
Is it Bob?
Shabazz. Shabazz.
Shabazz, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I think this is a great discussion, and oftentimes, and I'm going to critique it from the angle in which I heard it. It's, you know, it sounds like the situation where us as black people, we hear all too well today, where we move from the neighborhood that we might have been raised in order to move on the richer side of town or on the other side of town. And this is a reality. And I never knew this. Until I started reading this maybe about 10 years ago, I started to do more researching on it, and it was actually true. They said once black people, if you have any all-white neighborhood here in America, once your first black residence moves in, the property value goes down, right? Property value goes down. And I, as a cable technician, I kind of saw that. You know, you kind of saw where, you know, black people were starting to take up, you know, housing in a lot of the older white neighborhoods. And you kind of see that it was, you know, you kind of see it was desolate. Once black people, once one, two, three, four Negroes start moving in old, and white folks have another plan, they're going to move away. And at the end of the day, I can't get mad at them because their communities should be a common unity, as well as we should be looking for the same in our community. I saw a good thing the other day where one of these militias, I think it was upstate, maybe New York, Philly, somewhere, it was a militia in that side of town. I think it was the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, in to be truthful. And some elders had been getting robbed on the train. And we do know that how our relationship as black folks go with the police, where these trained, licensed black people were actually standing up for their community, and they were participating, they were protecting. These are the things that we, because I think our communities have been one where it's now run over by the undisciplined youth, and a lot of our older people in the community may be and are afraid to go, you know, I guess stand toe-to-toe or let those. And I think this disconnect is something that we must, you know, get into so we won't have to move from our communities or what we should take pride into in order to move over to the white side of town. If we need to start building up nice houses on our sides of town. We need to start investing in us. Because as long as we try to jump on that wagon, cart's going to get, you know, loose, and you could potentially fall off. And in the case, I wouldn't want to have my family in the situation that you guys just explained. You understand? Where I worked hard, gave my all to be on this side of town. I've, you know, taken out 401k, all types of loan. I'm in thousands of dollars of debt. And all to be at a place that I thought was home, but I can't call home. I've seen it with black people have, racist people coming spray painting, go home, nigga. And I didn't say that to be, you know, say anything, but that's in the quotations as they, you know, and we try to find a reason to stick around. But I think this is a very important conversation, and the one where we must probe our thoughts inside selecting our houses, are selecting our residents.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, brother. Brother Shabazz, you're right. We run to them and they keep running. Now, you know, I was raised up. You know, I'm in the 50s and the early 60s, and you know, in an all black neighborhood, and you know, you leave your doors open. You wouldn't worry about nobody stealing nothing or beating up. But when they brought the drugs into the community, that began to destroy our community to where you can't trust people because people on drugs started stealing. So they broke down our communities with drugs and made our communities unsafe. And then we thought we was moving on up by moving out, but it was a trick. And now we all spread out. We in debt. Like you said, you buy these homes, and now the value of the home isn't going down because you moved in it. And so now you can't sell it because you're going to lose money.
Right.
You know, it's a shame that we got tricked like that. You know, we didn't know. You know, our leadership told us the integration was best. Even though the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us, he said integration is a sin. Don't fall for this last trick. It's a trick. Well, here we are, 50 years later, and we had to bear witness, it's a trick. So now that we know it's a trick, what are we going to do? Just stay there and suffer in the trick? Or are we going to cut bait, you know, cut off our losses, you know, accept our losses, and then just start over again for the next generation? But some people say, well, you know, I'm too old. Yeah, but don't you think about anybody else but yourself? That's why you're in the trouble you're in now, because you're damn selfish. Think about the next generation. Think about us as a people. Let's set up something for the future of our people, of our children, of our grandchildren. Oh, I see, you will go to heaven after you die by your damn self, ain't you? With some shoes on and some milk and honey. You know, just selfish. That's all I got to say. I don't want to run people away. Dr. Ridge is just something that you just get too cold. But it's the truth. They're just selfish, man. They're selfish, man. Come on.
Praise be to Allah. Well, Brother Shabazz, thank you very much for your call. Stay tuned. We're going to go ahead. We got two more callers. Caller with the last four digits, 1965. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Lee Muhammad calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Assalamu alaikum.
What's your name again, sir?
This is Brother William Muhammad.
Brother William Muhammad. Well, alaikum salam, Brother William.
How are you, sir?
That's better.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'd like to do a different avenue on what Brother just said. It seems like to me that a lot of the brothers and sisters that grew up in the 60s and the 70s were exposed to a different perception of a reality of life. And what I mean by that is I grew up in the projects, what they call the projects. And in the days when I grew up in the project, it was actually a divine place. it was a place where people cared about where they lived. They took care of the yards. They took care of the children. If you act bad down the street, they beat your butt down the street. When you got home, you got your butt beat again. I would like to say that the neighborhood that I currently live in was a slave community. It was an area where the master allowed the slaves to live closer to where they worked so they wouldn't have so far to go. And as a result, this community still stands. And as far as the property value going down, it seems like to me when black people decided to stay among black people, the property value actually went up. As a matter of fact, when I moved here 24 years ago, white people wouldn't even ride through this community. Now you can't seem to get rid of them because they see an opportunity and didn't realize that black folks saw the opportunity before they did. So I'd like to just get some feedback on that because I know everybody's not for separation with the white folks because I left the black community to this community simply because I needed more space. I don't like living in places where you can literally take two steps and be in the neighbor's side yard. So, I mean, some of us really do want better. It's just that we have a hard time convincing those around us that what is here is better. I have people that live around me that have been here for at least six generations that still act like slaves. When white folks show up, they don't talk to you. When they're gone, they're in conversation. My question is, how do we address that problem?
How do you do what? How do you do what?
How do we address the problem of slaves six generations later acting like slaves? So when the white people come around, they act as if other black people don't exist. They are not from the original community. And when they're not around, it's a conversation. I try to represent the Nation of Islam in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but most people's minds are still closed. And it's not because they don't see progress. They reject progress. How do we address that problem?
I think that's a $60,000 question, brother.
Yes, sir.
How do you address a person that don't want to know? A person
yes,
that don't want to grow? It's kind of difficult because you can't
yes,
teach a person who don't want to know. Evidently, they know it all. So my argument is I'm not going to completely dismiss my people. You know, I sell a Final Call newspaper every week. I got customers. So I'm going to continue to try to teach my people. However, I'm not going to suffer with it. In other words, I'm not going to stay amongst them. I will reach out to them and sell them a paper. But I want to come home to what's ours. I want to be on our own land. I want people around me who think like me so I can reach out to them as a friend, as a brother. And then I can go outside of my insular Muhammad Muslim community and try to help my people. But you know, you can't help somebody who think they know everything and they don't care to know nothing else. They just don't care. They're living. Look, poor black people are living better than the vast majority of people on the earth, by far. They're spoiled. They got it easy, and they don't think they need you because all they feel they need is master a job and master. So we try to teach them, but then what we got to do is be an example. We got to have mm-hmm. something that they want, and that is once we have a community where we can, in fact, offer jobs, then we can demand certain types of behavior. But right now, it's the white man who offering the jobs or the welfare or whatever, and our black people are with master because master give them the bread. Master give them the welfare cheat. Master give them a little job. So until we're able to, and you're not going to be able to build an economy with them because they won't support you. So you're going to have to come as a group to a place where you will support each other, and then later on they'll come. But if they think you need them, they won't support you because they love master. So I say stop suffering amongst the Negroes and the white folks, and let those of us who want to build something, let's get together and start building. The Negroes will come around once they need a job, and you got it. They'll come around. They call us all the time looking for work at the farm now. They wouldn't do that at first. It was hard for me to find help. But now they know every summer I'm going to be slinging watermelons and they get some money, they call me. But once they see that you ain't going nowhere, they'll call you. So let's get together and let's build something. And then that'll attract them.
Thank you for that answer. And thank you very much for your question, Brother William. And we are going to bring in our next caller. It looks like it's our sister, Sister Niambe. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Niambe.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlson. How are you?
Oh, praises. Due to Allah, I'm doing fine.
So I'd like to give the people a little glimpse of heaven, if I may, because, you know, I was at the farm last weekend and was blessed to have dinner with you, Brother Carlson, and your family in your beautiful, spacious home that you'll never find in a million years on your own. So there's no threat there of white folks coming to get anybody to home. It's not easy to never find it in a million years. I was thinking to myself, where are we going? Are we going back in the woods somewhere? I didn't know where we were going. But it's beautiful.
Yes,
ma'am. Dinner Praise be to Allah. Dinner was amazing. The conversation was great. Dr. Ridgely led the conversation. No matter what anybody says, Dr. Ridgely is awesome. Funny, smart. He's an interesting brother. So, you know, these ideas, as I've said before, the problem is we just aren't willing to step outside of our comfort zone. The greatest threat out at the farm is the heat and a few bugs. If we can't withstand that, then I don't know what to tell us. But many of us just, we heard about the little young brother, 7 years old, that was murdered in St. Louis. That was murdered because it was featured on CNN too. Their family was interviewed on CNN. And so the little brother lived in the neighborhood that I just moved away from. I lived in the very neighborhood where he was murdered. And they are gentrifying the neighborhood. So one of the first things that they do when they come in is they remove the grocery store. This is how you know that they're going to gentrify the neighborhood, because the first thing they do is take out the grocery store. At least this is what they do in St. Louis. So the grocery store has been gone for years. One of the major grocers in St. Louis is called Schnuck Market. And so there was a Schnuck in most of the markets. It's kind of like Kroger in the South. This one, because it was in a black neighborhood, there was no nice salad bar. The canned goods were dusty and damaged, and food was very poor quality overall. And the only grocery store they have now in the neighborhood is an Aldi. And so if you don't have a vehicle to get there, or if you don't live in walking distance to the Aldi, which many people don't, then you don't have access to food. And so, and not only have they taken to the grocery store, so they've recently built some brand new homes. The home that I moved out of, I was the first person to move into it, and it was only 9 years old, and they're still building. The National Geospatial, I believe it's NGA, but it's the National Geospatial Association or Agency. They're building a brand new facility in the hood, okay? That's not a good sign. Why is the National Geospatial Agency, for those who don't know, it's a military agency. These are the ones that monitor the satellites that are out in space. And these are the things that they're out, they have been into the neighborhood harassing homeowners in the neighborhood, just pulling up on them if they're taking things out of their vehicle. What are you doing? What are you doing? And this is a homeowner. We're taking things out of their own vehicle on their property. And so people from the NGA, that they drive up in their black, well, I don't know necessarily if they're from the NGA, but they drive up in their black tinted window SUVs harassing homeowners. And so, and then you got, they're reporting a lot of crime on, you know, the media is reporting a lot of crime, but there is crime, but it's petty crime. You know, there's drugs, so people sometimes get broken into. There's not, I don't know about the murders that you're talking about. So there is a larger plot at hand. And so my point in saying all of that is that we would actually be safer on the phone ourselves if we were really honest with ourselves, because as Dr. Ridgely or someone has said, they will come to where we are because they're trying to escape the extreme weather that Allah is bringing down upon them. So they want to move into the city, and then, of course, they push us out. And, I mean, it's the same old game all the time. It's the same thing all the time. So separation is the order of the day. I mean, if we're not going to make our neighborhoods a decent and safe place to live, then we need to move where that's already been established.
Okay, and, you know, I noticed back in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina, I saw them do this gentrification thing through allowing drug dealers to sell drugs in a neighborhood that most of the homes have been paid for. And then they had these drug dens in some of the vacant homes. So eventually the whole property value went down. They did an eminent domain thing, knocked them down, put in new homes, and then started 30-year mortgages again, and there were no more drug dealers to be found. So they, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that they move us around like dust because they have a plan, and we don't have a plan. I know urban removal. They call it urban renewal. I know what they did in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. They moved my family members, my cousins, who had a store. They moved them around twice. And the second time, they just gave up. You know, they moved them around because of urban renewal. Then they got settled there. Then the urban renewal came in and moved them again. Hell, they knew what they was going to do when they moved them the first time. But they didn't know what they was planning in the future. So they was there about 10 years, and then they had to move again. Well, they knew this in the first place when they moved them the first time. This is how they play. So we got to have a plan. You cannot deal with an organized beast and being unorganized ourselves. We're going to have to develop a plan and then work our plan and set up the rules and regulations in our system the way they do in theirs and change it when they want to. If they see that we are learning how to make it in that system, they change the game. We know this, but we are thinking and moving as individuals, thinking somehow we're going to be able to beat the quote-unquote system. You will beat it for a while, and then it's going to beat you up. So stop trying to find a cool place in hell, and let's build heaven.
And Dr. Ridgely, to your point, in Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, he says that it's best to buy when the blood is flowing in the street. So that may have been code for his readers, but we know what that means as well.
Yeah, that's definitely code. That is, you go in, you cause trouble. Trouble will devalue the property values. Then you buy it when it's at the bottom. Then you get rid of the trouble, and then you sell it to somebody else, and you triple your money. That's the name of the game. That's how he made his money.
Man.
So, anybody else?
Snakes. Brothers and sisters, if you're enjoying the way this conversation is going and you want to ask a question or make a comment, press the 1 on your dial. You have the opportunity to ask a question or to leave a comment. At this point, what I'm going to do is going to read in the answer to what does separation look like for you, here's one of the statements from one of our Facebook subscribers. Farmland, where we can get away from civilization. We can go back to the farm and grow our own food and have our own animals that's not tampered with. We can build our own homes and have our own schools, and we're free from outside influence and give our time to someone else. When we're free from outside influence and giving our time to someone else, then our gifts and talents will start to flourish. We won't be constantly bombarded with filth and degeneracy. Anybody want to comment on that?
Yeah, I do.
Yes, sir.
That means you can't have no TV. Because if you got a TV, you're not going to keep the filth and degeneracy out of the community or your house. So it starts by cutting that off, even while you in your present location. Cut off that damn TV.
Well, maybe we have our own broadcast stations and our own programming.
Yeah, right. No. Yeah, that's in the future. But right now, cut off the damn TV, because that is the main root. That is the main root behind craziness. I hate looking at the TV. I hate looking at thriller type of thing, because white folks be doing stupid stuff, and after a while you be doing stupid stuff. Instead of you doing what you need to do to make sense to get out of trouble, you be doing stupid stuff behind white folks. They training you to be stupid on that television. So the first step towards separation is that when we do our 3-day fast, we do a 3-day fast of television. Cut the damn television off and talk to one another.
Yes, sir.
You know, or read a book or something. Cut that damn TV off.
Maybe somebody has a comment about what you said because they just pushed the button. Call them with the last 4 digits. 2477. What is your name and where are you calling from? 2477. Having trouble hearing you. What's your name? We can't hear you,
they
brother. You gotta change it.
They got feedback over for some reason.
Okay, we're gonna take you off for a minute to get together. And we have another caller.
They must have 2 people in the same household listening to the phone. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. That's okay. Well, we're blessed to have another caller. Caller with the last 4 digits, 8804. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
This is Sister Andrea. I'm calling about all of it. First of all, those who are in the community, if we decide to stay there, we're not producing food. There are no stores, and the stores that are in the community don't usually have the fresher food. It's more expensive, so it makes sense to move to our community where we have a farm, like in Brunswood or around Brunswood, so that we can develop our community instead of staying in the city. And as far as the comment about the television, yes, I agree with that completely. When I tell people I haven't had a television for 3 years, they kind of look at me strange. But I remember when I was raising my children, we didn't have TV. And when I walked into my son's house and I saw that he and his wife didn't have television on, I was like, he did learn something from me. Maybe I need to learn from me too. And I came back and stopped having TV. So, yes, picking up a book, you know, learning something, listening to the minister, doing something educational, is much more profitable than watching programs, because we're getting programmed when we watch programs.
That's right.
That's my comment.
That's right. Yep, that's what they have. That's why they call them programs. They're programmed just like you'd write a software package called a program. And you run the computer based on the program, or the robot based on the program that you put in it. So the television is the programming mechanism for the robot. So cut the damn TV off every now and then at least, or do something funny like I do sometimes. Just listen to the television, but don't look at it. And then turn around and cut the sound off and just look at it and don't listen to it because the sound is off. Neither one of them by themselves make any sense. You see, people, you know, it don't, when you're just listening to it, not looking at it, it don't make no sense. And when you're just looking at it and can't hear nothing, it don't make no sense. It's programming. You listen to the conversations. They're lying. People don't talk like that. They don't come up with little smart cracks like that. It's programming. And it's called virtual living. You're living in somebody else's made up reality and think that you are living. Cut it off. Get out of there. Run for your life. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. It's getting more and more filthy. You watch it, and they are not have any discretion on what they do and what they try to promote. And it's all targeted toward us as black people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. You can't look at it. I remember a couple of years ago, this show I used to look at every Sunday. It was about what was it called? Housewives? No, it was called. Anyway, the DeLorean, not DeLorean. Anyway, it was these white women. They had one Puerto Rican sister there. But anyway, you know, it was about, you know, these middle class white women. You know, one had a husband, the other didn't, and they, you know, living in the suburbs. And then they had this the white boy, one of them kissed another white boy in bed, and that was it for me. Click. That was it for that.
Mm-hmm.
No more. They sneak it. Yep. They go sneak it in there any way they can. Some sickness. That's what it's. They hold you with one hand, and it's like I didn't look at the Super Bowl this past year. I didn't look at it because I knew this would be a male cheerleader acting like a damn woman. I knew there was gonna be on there, and so for the Los Angeles Rams, so I didn't even look at Super Bowl. You know, I'm not going to allow them to stick stuff in my face that I don't want to see. So I just cut it off.
Right. Right.
But as long as you live among them, they're going to try to program you into their foolishness. As they going down, they're going to take you down. So let's get together one another. I mean, entertainment. Are you kidding me? They pay us for entertainment. All you got to do is put some black folks together and just sit there and watch. And sit there and watch and let them start talking. Then something's going to get started. You know that. Somebody's going to start saying something. Somebody's going to argue with them because they know they're lying. Man, you know you're lying, man. That didn't happen like that. Oh, nigga, you don't know. You don't know what you know. I mean, it's going to get exciting. Just take a camera and videotape it and then sell that. You know what I mean? Sell that.
Yeah. Camera,
videotape it, and then you sell it. You put your own program on. Just call it Hanging Out. Just call it Hanging Out. Just Hanging Out. You know what I mean? Go from one hangout to another. Go to where you see them underneath a tree playing cards and drinking beer. Just put the camera on. Entertainment. We are the entertainment.
Yes, yes.
That's right. Well, we're down to the last 5 minutes. Does anybody have any closing comments or any statements? Oh, any words on next week's show, Dr. Ridgely?
Right, right. That's just what I was going to say. I'm still working on trying to get Minister Ava tied down for next week. She just got back in the country. We thought we may be able to have her on this Thursday, but she's just getting back in the country, and we have not been able to talk with her about next week yet. So we can't say that she's going to be on next week, but we are trying to get Minister Ava on, and she has her own program that comes on at 8. So, you know, she might not be able to stay but a half an hour, but we would love to hear from her in terms of her experiences with the separation town hall meeting. So we are working on trying to get Minister Ava. We're not sure about next week, but tune in anyway. If we have to do a comedy skit or something, we're going to do something to keep you entertained. But hopefully we'll be able to get Minister Ava, but we're not sure yet.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much, Dr. Vision and Sister Ann, for keeping the spirit of the Time to Leave movement fed with your insights. And I want to thank all the listeners who's called and contributed. And we'll look forward to having you all on next week's show, if it be the will of Allah. Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters be messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire.
Down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to dream.